Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cato, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Zach Paris, coming to you live from Vinyl Preacher headquarters, our Asheville branch, here in the land of the sky, rainy day here in the land of the sky.
Asheville branch. How's... Zach, how do I even begin this?
How do you begin?
Good Friday. Some important things happened. Many
Indeed.
Important things happened. One of which was that Jesus died for us. The other thing that happened was that Beyonce dropped a new album, Cowboy Carter, out on all services. Have you listened, Zach? Have you listened?
I've listened. If not fully, mostly. It's because there's a lot of tracks. That's my biggest critique.
There's a lot of tracks. Well, to be fair, as I said in my my response to you, you texted the group chat, and I was like, I thought that too. And then I started listening, and I was like, oh, a lot of these are just interludes.
Interludes.
Like, I was like, oh, she does a song with Willie Nelson? No, he's just scooping around, introducing a song. So, yeah, but it is a lot of songs still. Yes. An hour and 18 minutes it clocks in at, which is a lengthy album.
Yeah, that's pretty lengthy these days, right?
The bummer is I enjoyed this album so much that I immediately want to go out and get the vinyl. And not all the songs are on the vinyl. In fact, one of the best, not on the vinyl. And I wonder, some people says because she added some tracks late. I wonder if it's also because it would be like a double album, I think, if she had to add all the songs. Yeah.
I think the biggest surprise takeaway from me, Matt, is that it turns out I didn't know this. Beyonce is a horse girl.
What's that mean, Zach? Tell us what that means. As somebody who is an expert in this field,
as a former member of a 4-H horse bowl team, quiz bowl team, mostly from me, it's the two albums in a row, two horses prominently featured on the cover, just horse covers. Renaissance was a horse, her on a horse. Cowboy Carter, her on a horse.
Oh, you froze up, so I missed your entire horse girl explanation.
Just saying, Renaissance, the cover of Renaissance is Beyonce on a horse.
Yeah, it is,
Carter, Beyonce on a horse.
Yeah.
The third album that's coming, willing to bet, it's going to be Beyonce on a horse.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be willing with that too. I wonder what kind of horse it's going to be. It's a great album cover. I love it. It's one of the things that I really enjoyed about this album, I was texting back and forth with one of my young adults, grew up here at St. Mark's and diehard Beyonce fan. And I was like, I need the footnotes to this album. This album feels so rich and complex, and there's a lot going on, but I need the footnotes.
Yeah.
It's something like to break down. That's not true of like every album that you pick up, but this one I felt like I needed it. But still a lot of different music on there. She said not a country album but a Beyonce album, and you really see that she kind of how do I put this, like dips in and out of the country space with how do you say this, approval or legitimation or something from Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton, basically just coming on to introduce her and saying, yeah, we like you, Beyonce, you're great. Kind of giving her that seal of approval, Linda Martell in here as well. And just kind of, this is the space that we're in. But a lot going on.
What did you learn? You got any cliff notes for us?
I particularly enjoyed the rendition of Jolene, which in retrospect seems like it's the obvious move. Like now it just feels inevitable. Mm-hmm. But the first time that I listened to it, the first time I was listening to the album, I was on a run and I was just kind of listening to it all the way through. And Dolly Parton comes up to introduce Jolene. I think she's just going to do a Jolene cover, which is, you know, okay. That'd be fine. Like I figured Jolene's going to be on it. And you hear the opening lines and you go, oh, that's what she's doing. That's what she's doing, which of course she is. Like, it makes perfect sense. But the way that she takes that song and flips it on its head, love it. It's what a move.
What's the thing that she's doing for our listeners who have not explored the song?
Oh my gosh. I mean, she's turning it into, from, you know, when Dolly does it, it's a song of vulnerability, right? She's saying, Jolene, please don't take my man. And it's this extraordinary vulnerability. It's one of the things that makes it such a beautiful and heartbreaking song. But Beyonce comes in and she goes, Jolene, 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 I'm warning you, don't come for my man. Don't take the chance because you think you can. And just has some great lines in here. I raised that man, I raised his kids. I know him better than he knows himself. And then takes it to this place at the end where you almost get this vision, like this sort of like these harmonies come in. You get this vision of this married life that she is like, you can't touch. Go find your own man. But it's this sort of paints this beautiful vision at the end of the song, which is beautiful. So goes from this sort of attitude and like, don't mess with me, to just painting a beautiful vision at the end. It's wonderful. I think it's a great, great move, great version of Jolene. And the fact that she gives her own stamp to it. Good stuff.
Cool. We'll have to do a deeper dive breakdown.
My other initial thought, I also really enjoyed the duet with Miley Cyrus, who, you know, who doesn't love Party in the USA? Miley Cyrus has been around a long time, but when her voice comes in, she is operating at a different level right now. Like, she's just, Miley's voice is pretty extraordinary, and it's a great song. The only thing I don't understand on the album is, someday I will understand Post Malone, but today is not that day. I just don't get it. I don't understand.
He's not there.
He's everywhere. But I don't get it. He doesn't do anything for me.
Not on stage with a guitar not plugged into anything.
Doesn't do anything for me. And now that I know that story about Coachella, even less. He does even less for me. But oh well. I enjoy the album. Yeah.
Well, Matt, Easter 4, the fourth installment in the trilogy that is Easter.
Fourth installment in the trilogy that is Easter. It's Good Shepherd Sunday. We always get it.
Wait.
Is this an episode?
We got a soundboard. Is this another episode? Let's talk about the sheep.
Oh, this is why you got to go back to Spring and Springsteen on my music. They had some great. Is this an episode of just quite a lot this time? It really was on a whole other level. But this is another episode of Acts during the Easter season for the first reading. And it is once again some conversation instead of action. Let's see what the conversation looks like. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem. And with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family, when they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" That sounds familiar. That's what we were talking about last week. By what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Word of God, word of life.
Acts is keeping it active, Matt. More action, more stories, an action-packed reading where Peter fusses at everybody again.
he's doing a lot of fussing. Yeah. He couldn't remember if he knew Jesus. Just a little bit ago. And now he's standing up in a courtroom. He's facing down the high priest and all the high priestly family. All the Trump family is there. And he is facing them down here in this courtroom.
Yeah. Trust in the people.
But, once again, I mean, I don't know, I mean, maybe that's where I'd go with it, honestly, is because there's not a whole lot of new insights in here. It's once again, you know, you're mm-hmm. pointed back to Christ, pointed back to God. By what power, by what name did you do this? But I think maybe looking at Peter's story in there, maybe it's time to like tell that story. Like Peter, yeah. This guy that messed it up throughout the story, he doesn't get it. He's always like, he's blurting things out. Get behind me, Satan. And he's denying Jesus. And then Jesus tells him, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And here we already see it happening. We see Peter with just some extraordinary courage in a way that he didn't always have. This wasn't something that Peter always seemed to have. And yet by the power in the name of Christ, Peter now has a new degree of courage and faith. So yeah, maybe that's what I did.
You're about to do any construction projects. This is the text to preach on to get people fired up about building cornerstones.
That's right. The cornerstone. Indeed. Oh,
does that still work? We're full of like kind of antiquated metaphor here this week, Matt, with all the sheep. And with cornerstones. Mm-hmm. But I guess they're still around. People still see them.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Great. Good talk. Well, Matt, after you get juked out by the epistle, Matt, which is 1 John 3:16, which is slightly different, right? But 1 John 3:16 on some t-shirts. People are going to be like real excited and like, oh, I don't remember that. It's a different book of the Bible. We're going to move on over to the gospel where we get to not only hear some Johannine good words, we get some good words about sheep, which everybody could use. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf come in, leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because that hired hand doesn't care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep. Addendum, footnote. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down to my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father, the good news of the Good Shepherd, Matt.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, always worth remembering, shepherds, we're not cool guys. Pretty generally despised by folks, very low social place in the social pecking order. Shepherds had to work at night, which is when scary things happened, when bandits were out there. It wasn't a job that was desirable. They spent all their time outside the town walls. You know, not a job that anybody wanted and was not considered a trustworthy job. And so the Good Shepherd, a part of what gets lost in translation here, not just in the language, but across cultures, is we think of shepherds, Jesus being a friendly cartoon sort of shepherd and not like a dirty, trying to think of vocation that I could slander to make the metaphor work here, right? But like, I don't know, think of some sort of job that's not highly regarded, but is generally despised. And that's who Jesus said, that's who I am. So I mean, that's a big part of like what's going on here. A classic like Jesus reversal is a part of what's happening here, that I'm the good shepherd, which kind of insinuates that the general shepherd, not only is there possibly a bad shepherd, but that maybe shepherds in general are bad. It's like the good Samaritan. You need to say good shepherd because like those two things don't go together, good and shepherd. So there's some dissonance for you to play with there.
Yeah, no, I think that's helpful. Not a glamorous job. And we can easily lose sight of that from all the paintings that we have seen. I wonder this year why this text is in the Easter season. Because the last couple weeks we've gotten these like resurrection, these clearly resurrection narratives. Like, is he a ghost? Like, what's happening? And then suddenly we shift to Psalm 23 and I Am the Good Shepherd, which on the face of it, don't seem to have a lot to do with resurrected. It just seems like a radical shift in focus. But maybe it's not. Maybe the place to start then is in that verse 18. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. There's the resurrection piece in the story. And if I was to tie some of these texts together, whether it's Peter finding new courage in the wake of the resurrection, and even in 1 John here, which you didn't read, but he says, we know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. And so maybe it's this, maybe it's painting a picture of what resurrection life looks like, that now we are able to take risks that maybe we wouldn't have taken before. And maybe we're willing to put ourselves at risk for the sake of our neighbor, for the sake of the sheep community, because we know that there's a power stronger than death. And maybe that's something that Easter reveals for us. And so maybe that's part of why this is in the Easter season, that we're now starting to shift to, okay, not just did Jesus rise, but what's that mean for us? And what does resurrection life look like? Maybe the Good Shepherd stories or Good Shepherd image points us in that direction.
The other thing that's kind of insulting in the metaphor is that I think you can intimate, right, that that we're the sheep, right? And the thing about sheep that people don't always fully appreciate who don't live near and around sheep is sheep are very, very dumb, like to the point of like death dumb. Like they need a shepherd because they will do real, like it is not a compliment to be called a sheep. Not only like, you know, like in pop culture, right? A sheep is a person who blindly follows someone, right? That's not what sheep do either. They don't follow either. They just like assess a situation, come up with the dumbest idea, and that's what they typically do. Mm-hmm. So like it's not a compliment. Like it's really unexpected, this metaphor. This metaphor is very unexpected. And maybe that's a part of what your job as preacher here is to I don't hear Good Shepherd Sunday as a unexpected thing. I hear it as like, oh, yawn. What cliches are we going to get about Jesus and sheep? Right. Tired cliches. Right. And that's not what he's actually saying, right? Like he's insulting himself and everybody who's listening.
Yeah. 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 Agree. Co-sign all of that. I would definitely come into Good Shepherd Sunday thinking, here's a boring image. But maybe it's not as boring as we think. And you could turn that upside down, just like Beyonce turns Jolene upside down. Turn that sheep metaphor upside down.
Well, Matt, I can't imagine what's on your playlist this week, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
What should we put on here? I'm going to do, I'll do it. We'll go Beyonce, Jolene. And here's why. I know it seems like the obvious choice from the album, but here's why. I mean, here is somebody defending her relationship, defending her community, defending herself. And that is what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, does for us. So you can imagine Jesus, the Good Shepherd, singing Beyonce's version of Jolene. Boom. And then I'll also go with that Miley Cyrus song. I'm going to go with Two Most Wanted because I'll be your shotgun rider. I mean, this is about dedication to each other, renewing the covenant. I am committed to you. That's what Jesus tells us. That's what we affirm on Good Shepherd Sunday. And then, just for a little cherry on top, I'll throw out Sheep from the Storybots.
I like it, Matt. I like it. As you know, I'm still celebrating. We're all getting ready for the grand finale of Eurovision 2024. Coming to you live from Malmo, Sweden. I'm going to wish that I'm there. I already wish that I was going to be there. And so I'm getting ready, and I'm getting you ready, Matt. And I'm getting you ready with currently the odds-on favorite to win Eurovision. It's an entry from a band called Nemo, who's coming to you from Switzerland. It's the Swiss entry into the contest, a song called The Code. It's about breaking the code. Jesus is breaking some norms here, breaking the code. So that's what I'm going to lead with. That's your Eurovision prep for the week, The Code by Nemo. Then, Matt, my child, the vinyl daughter, has been really getting into the Beatles lately. I haven't heard her sing this nice track off of Magical Mystery Tour, but I'm going The Fool on the Hill, which ostensibly was about the Beatles, Magical Mystery Tour has to do with their time in India. It comes out of their time in India and stuff, right? McCartney once wrote that the song is about someone like the Maharishi, which is their like guru guy in India, that everybody thinks he's a fool, but he's actually the wisest one. And Jesus here saying some foolish stuff, but it turns out maybe Jesus is, there's some wisdom. So this Easter life that Jesus is inviting us into. And finally, Matt, we got a cornerstone. It's been rejected, but we're building something new on it, Matt. What do you think we're building? Any guesses, Matt, what we're building on this cornerstone? Well, I think it's a mystery, Matt. We're building a mystery with Sarah McLachlan. So there you have it. We got the Beatles. We got Sarah McLachlan. And we've got, of course, it belongs in that conversation in the same breath. It's Nemo from Switzerland. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast this week. I certainly have. It's been real. And I might even say that it has been real vinyl. Ooh, not sure.